read our verses. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 14.
Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 14. Judge not, that you may be not judged. With what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? For how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly, cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that asketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. For what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it.
Thank you. All right. Sorry, guys. Let me just lock in place real quick because my stick drift. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, bless this service. Give me utterance, Lord. And bless your people. Amen. All right, title of my sermon to be, I only got 3 points today, so I'm going to keep it short, and that is the enter ye the straight gate, right? Verse 13, Jesus said here, enter ye the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many of you will find it, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few be there to find it. So, you know, if you're on social media, you usually come across Christians who make AI pictures of one side, where it has people going into darkness, which reads, I believe in God, or and then like other side where it says, I obey God. And it's like 3 or 2 people there. So they're basically saying that in order to go to heaven, you must obey God. But no one in the Bible does it say that. This is a man-made doctrine. Notice in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus again is referring to the Pharisees, the religious people who think they're obeying God. Look down here at verse 15. You should beware of false prophets. They shall come to you in sheep's clothing, but inward are ravening wolves. Verse 16, know ye then, he says right here, know ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes with thorns or fig leaves? Now what is fruit? Is it referring to their works? No. Fruit, he is referring to what they speak and teach. Look down, let's keep going here. Verse 8:19, every good tree bring forth not good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by fruits you shall know them. Verse 21, now everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied? Have I not cast out devils? Have I not done many wonderful works? And I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, already we know these people were not trusting in Christ. They were trusting in themselves, right? So what is the broad way then? Well, I don't know. Ask your neighbor who's Christian. Hey, how do I go to heaven? I bet he's going to say the same thing that the Catholics do and any other religion out here does. Oh, go to church. Be a good person. Try to keep the commandments. Notice that. He's pointing to what? To you, not to the gospel. So narrow is the way, straight is the gate, if you find it. It's rare to find people who what? Believe the gospel of grace and say, you know what? I trust in Christ. I'm a sinner. I can't save myself, so I trust Christ alone. So the gate here is not your obedience, but it's Christ himself. Go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and go to Romans chapter 5. But again, the straight gate, again, is not this, oh, you gotta obey God and keep, no. No, that ain't going to save you. If obedience could open the way, then Christ died in vain. If you can save yourself, then God died in vain. There was no point of the cross. Romans chapter 3, 10 says what? There's none righteous, no, not one. Now, there's a big false gospel out there known as lordship salvation. This is mostly taught in most modern churches today. So what does that mean, lordship salvation? It means that, oh, in order to go to heaven, you must make Jesus the Lord of your life. There's different camps within lordship salvation. One believe that you have to clean yourself up before you can come in. Others believe that if you're really saved, you're going to clean your life up. This is both false gospels here, not biblical. It's basically all about you, though. Look into your works, what you do. Here's what Romans chapter 5 says, or John chapter 10. Jesus declared what? I am the door. So the gate is not what you do, it's but who he is. In Romans chapter 5 verse 19, it says what? For by one man's disobedience, Adam, right, Adam's sin, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. Is it about your obedience or God's, Jesus' obedience? His obedience. What he did already for you. So we can spend eternity with him as a free gift. My second point is the narrow way excludes all confidence in the flesh. See, the broad way is your works. Well, I'm not saying you guys, but people who are trusting in their works. That's the broad way. It's no different than Muslim, Islam, or Hinduism, or those crystal girls. It's all based on your works. How do you feel? What are you doing? The gospel of this world is not Christ died for your sins. The gospel of this world is become a better person. And sadly, modern Christianity has taken that and taught in many churches. Now that false gospel is spread like wildfire, and that's the normal now. I see no difference between a Catholic and Orthodox. Their gospel is the same. It's all about works and them. It's false. I see no difference between Muslims and Catholics. They both believe in a false gospel of works. In Matthew chapter 7, those people were not trusting Christ, they were trusting themselves. Go to John chapter 6:40. Here's the will of the Father. John chapter 6:40 says, right here, and this is the will of him that sent me, this is Jesus speaking, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise up on the last day. Notice that. It's simple. If you believe on Jesus, you're saved. But notice that. Most Christians today don't believe this. They're adding to it. They're taken away from it. Matthew chapter 7 says this. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many wonderful works? So those people didn't point to Christ. They point to what? Their works. They're believing on what? Themselves. They were trusting what? Themselves. Not in the finished redemptive work of Jesus Christ. So narrows the way. Now it's not saying that only a few people are saved. No, it's just saying in general, this message of grace is not popular because broad is the way that leads to destruction and narrow is the way that leads to life. The narrow way is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus said, I am the truth, I am the way, and no man comes to the Father but through me. So it's only by faith alone and Christ alone, but the religious people hate that message. These work salvations hate it because they hate God. And Jude chapter 1 refers to these people who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. How do they do that? Are they because they're abusing it? No. They turn it. The Greek word there means to what? To exchange or to remove. And in Jude chapter 1 verse 11, it says they've gone the way of Cain. The way of Cain represents people in the Bible who approach God based off their works. So these people remove God's grace and replace it with works. These Judaizers, again, will call God's grace evil. The Ebionites who attack Paul. So they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, calling it evil. That's how they do it. They exchange it, they remove it, and call it evil, and base their work, remove it with works. That's 99% of Christians today. But the narrow way, because it's all about Christ, excludes all confidence in the flesh. Most people travel trusting their obedience, their prayers, their holiness, thinking these will justify them before God. Well, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, he says this, being found in him, which is Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is of faith in Jesus Christ. Again, we are justified by faith, not by the works of the law. people are going to hate you because you believe the gospel. Now, when Jesus said the world's going to hate you, it's not referring to the whole world. The whole world didn't hate Jesus. It was the religious people who hated Jesus. It was the Pharisees. And 1 John says, you pass from death unto life. You're not of this world. He's referring to you're not of this religious. Now, in general, not of this world. Yeah, this world's conditional. You know, as believers, we know that that's not how God operates. So in that sense, yeah, we're not out of this world. But when Jesus talking about that in John, referring to religious people, or when Paul says Christ died, lived from this present evil world, he's referring to that religious realm that's operating. The Pharisees hated Jesus and killed him. The narrow way is grace alone. It's Christ himself. Most people are trusting in their works, trusting in their obedience, trusting in their own righteousness, instead of trusting the finished redemptive work of Jesus Christ. He shed his blood so we can be justified freely. I mean, you have many people today spitting in the face of that, thinking their sacraments will save them, thinking their baptism will save them. And God says, I sent my son, Jesus, who shed my precious blood. I came down in flesh and shed my precious blood for you. And yet you have people mocking it, spitting in it, and basically saying it was all in vain. And they're trusting what they do instead of what he did. It's a free gift. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. We're all sinners who deserve hell. But the good news, the gift of God is eternal life. And that free gift, it's not a transaction. You don't receive this gift by giving your life to him or having a personal relationship. No, you receive it by believing what Christ did at the cross. It's a one-time thing. Romans chapter 4, verse 5, my favorite verse. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So point one, the gate. Point one is the gate is not your obedience, it's Christ himself. Point two, the narrow way excludes all confidence in the flesh. Point three is the few who find it rest in Christ's finished work. Again, the narrow way is not about striving. It's not about your obedience. No, it's about what Christ did. The narrow way is simply Christ crucified. Nothing added. Nothing taken away. Few find it because few are willing to abandon their own righteousness and be found in him, not having their own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is faith of Jesus Christ. Trusting what he did. Go back to Matthew chapter 7. Notice look what he says right here. Don't give holy, look what he says right here. What verse was it? Right? You can find it in there. But he talks about don't give holy unto dogs, right? Well, in Philippians chapter 3, he says, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Right? These dogs or these evil workers, the concision. Right? These are people who are, again, who are trusting in themselves. These are people trying to be found in their own righteousness. For they're being ignorant of God's righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, 4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It's a free gift. But yeah, people adding to it or taking away from it. Different branches of Christianity. There's so many different branches of Christianity. It's all confusing. People don't know where to come in, but I tell you what, you can tell they're all the same when it comes to the message. There's no difference. I mean, if you look at every single branch of Christianity out there, you only find a couple who has the gospel right. But most of them all have the same message, different ways, different wordings. It's all about you. But my gospel, Paul's gospel, which is God's gospel, our gospel is all about Christ and him crucified. It's finished. He did it all. All we do is look and live. All we can do is look and live. All we can say, Lord, I'm a filthy sinner. Can't save myself. I'm on my way to hell. But I trust what you did. And just like that hymn we played, now I'm not going to hell. If hell would have split open right now, and you try to jump in, God ain't gonna let you go. He'll come down from heaven himself and pick you up. You ain't going down there. No matter how hard you try. When Jesus says, he that believeth has eternal life, I think he meant that. Unless you have another Jesus who's a liar, mine's not.
mine was crucified and raised from the dead, proving what he said he was true, that he was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, that came by water and by blood. And he promised to anyone, any child, any woman, any man, any adult, any kid, any murderer, any killer, anybody in the whole world, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You may die physically, but you will never die spiritually. Your home's heaven. It's a free gift. Best part about it, God expects nothing in return. That's how much he loves you. Now, religion will say, nope, you got to give your life to Jesus. You got to surrender to him, obey him. That's not what Jesus said. He says, and John, now modern translations corrupt this, but the King James Bible, which comes from the text, we said there's a majority text, the majority of it, 5,200 manuscripts all say the same thing from this verse, is this: he that believeth on the Son has life. He that believeth not is condemned. Now, modern translations twist that to, he that believes the Son has life, but he that obeys not the Son. You see how they twist the gospel in these modern translations? But now, as grace people, we can explain that. See, how would you explain that? Simple. Obey the gospel. Paul says in Thessalonians 1, God shall take vengeance on them who obey not the gospel. And Hebrews 5:9 talks about obeying the gospel. So what does it mean to obey the gospel? To believe it. Galatians 3 says this: O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you, that you shall obey the truth. Obeying the truth is what? Believing the truth. So as grace people, we're able to explain this, but for modern people who don't know the gospel, they get confused. It's believing. That's it. Nothing else. Paul says to him that works not, zero works, but believe. Even as David described the blessed man whom God and Peter writes without works, saying, blessed are they whose sins are covered, whose sins are forgiven. Faith alone in Christ, and that's it. That's salvation. It's not a works. Baptism won't save you. Going to church won't save you. Being a good person won't save you. It is faith in the cross, the finished work of Jesus. That's what saves you. It's a one-time thing. You believe, you're saved for whatever. Have eternal life, and all your sins are forgiven. That's the good news of the gospel. So the narrow way is Jesus. It's not your obedience. It's what he did. Go to Romans chapter 5. So it asked me in our Discord, what is a chapter of hope? And I point to Romans chapter 5. I think that's a chapter of hope. He talks about it in the first couple of verses. I want you to read this with me, though. Verse 8. We're almost done. But God commended his love towards us. Basically, he says, I demonstrate my love towards all of you. All of you. How? And while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much he loves you. He demonstrated by coming down as flesh, the Lord God Almighty. Revelation 1 says, Jesus, I am Alpha Omega, which is to come, God Almighty. Hey, Jesus is God. And he came down here. Jesus' blood was God's blood. He was perfect. Much more, verse 9. Much more. Be now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. He said, listen, because of what Jesus did, you're saved from that awful place called what? Hell. You're saved from it. You're not going to hell. Verse 10. For we were enemies. We were, but we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We're saved by his life. There's different ways to view this. Some people say, well, look, we're reconciled already by his death, so that's our positional salvation. And this is talking about, you know, daily where we just enjoy him. That could be it. But no, you're already saved. He said, you're saved by his life. What he did. He lived a perfect, spotless life. Shed his blood. Oh, because the whole way what Jesus did, all what he did was for you. Verse 12, wherefore, as by one man entered into the world, death came by sin, for all have sinned. Verse 13, for unto the law sin was in the world, but not imputed when there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who was the figure of him that was to come, but not as the offense. So, notice this, the free gift, notice that's a free gift. Where through the offense of many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is come by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abundant more. God's grace is free, hyper, infinite, extreme, abounding. And he expects nothing in return. It's a free gift. He that believeth is not condemned. It's a one-time thing. If you believe right now, or say, preach, I remember when I got saved, but I believe at one moment in my life, that's fine, you're saved. I know I'm saved because I remember the date when I got saved, because the only reason I remember, because the sermon was big on YouTube, was April 25th, 2021 is when I got saved. After the church service, I was told the gospel. A nice man, he came up to me and said, you're new here? I said, yeah, I am. He said, listen, if you die today, would you go to heaven? I said, I don't know. So he took me to the Romans Road. Romans 3:10, he showed me, which reads what? There's none righteous, or not one. And he said to me, listen, there's none good. He said, you're going to go to hell because there's none good. And he shows me verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he showed me, listen, I'm a sinner. I said, all right, you're right, I am a sinner. He said, don't worry. But he said, hold on, there's good news though. Show me Romans 5:8-10:9, that Christ died for my sins, was buried and rose again. That's the gospel, he said. And then he showed me Romans 10:13. He said, listen, all you have to do to be saved is trust the finished work of Jesus. I said, I'm willing to do that. And I did that. And I got saved, regenerated, born again, washed, justified, sanctified in that very nanosecond. Why? Because of what he did. So you, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, if you simply believe what he did, you're saved. Now, people struggle with that because they think they have to give something up. No. It's a free gift. Nothing's in return. You believe, you're adopted into God's family, and guess what? This world's conditional, yes. So our fathers down here, our mothers down here, our grandparents down here, they're not always the best, but God's a perfect father, and he will never cast you out. And John 6:37 says, all the Father shall give to me, and him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. Once you're part of the family, you're always part of the family. Like your dad down here will always be your dad, God will always be your dad, no matter what. You may disown him, you may not want to talk to him, might have nothing to do with him, but he'll always be your father. And you always go to heaven because of what he did. It's a free gift. Believe and receive. We're almost done. Short sermon today. I was almost late, to be honest. I slept in. Woke up at 2:18. 2:17. Almost late. Late church. But salvation, simple. A lot of us know it's a free gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works that man should boast. Now, when we present this, there's always from the religious people, one verse they love to twist. One verse. Can you know what it is? We get all the time, James chapter 2. That's it. Well, pastor, brother preacher, oh, salvation is just by grace. Amen. But, well, James 2 says faith without works is dead. Gonna need them works to get right with God. What a bunch of unsaved devils. I'm gonna tell you something about James, your little favorite apostle, James. He ain't no apostle. I'll tell you what, I don't care what James has to say. Because Christ didn't reveal himself to James. He went to Paul and say, Paul, preach this. But I'll tell you about James since you love him so much. James 2. Oh, that James the just man. Yeah, I don't give a damn about James the just. He means nothing to me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 6. Paul said the same thing. Verse 6, read it. And these who seem to be somewhat. You know what he's referring to? The big three. Peter, John, and James. These who be Amen. Somewhat. Added nothing to me. But those are the people of Jesus. He said, I don't care who they were. They didn't get updated. Because here's the gospel that Paul, God received to me. They didn't come to this message. Verse 9. Let's go to Galatians. I only know only part of it at the top of my head. Galatians 2, right here. I'm going to read the full thing. Verse 6. But these who seem somewhat what they were added nothing to me. God accept no man's person. It doesn't matter if it was Cephas, John, or James. God is not a respecter of persons. Verse 7. But contrary-wise. So even though I don't care what they have to say or what they believe right now, but contrary-wise, they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, which is Gentiles, was given unto me as the gospel of the circumcision, which was Jews, it was unto Peter. But look at verse 9. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars. I mean, what's the word? Who seemed? What does that mean? Who seemed? If I say, hey, you know, demon seems to be nice. Am I saying, is he nice or not really?
Not really.
Who seemed? This is Peter talking about James, John, and Peter. Who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace. So you know what that means? He's saying this. Listen, hey, even though Peter was with Jesus, John, you know, they're brothers in Christ, whatever, but they don't understand the grace that was given to me. That's okay. Again, they were getting influenced by the Ammonites, the Jews. So James means nothing. His letter, James, was written 45 AD. That was before Paul and Barnabas went up to the council to reveal his message to the Jerusalem apostles. So we can't use James to overthrow Paul because James did not understand it. And those who hold to James, well, you're on the way to hell. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Tell me how it is. I've been putting head and look down. How's it going? Whipping, gnashing of teeth. You okay? Well, hold on. Faith Out Works is dead, buddy. Oh, I should have trusted Christ. No. You hold James. Listen, yeah, James in the Bible for a reason. What? To show us what the church believed in, the early church in Jerusalem, how it took a decline, how it was falling apart before Paul came in. That's why God raised up Paul. And the reason why Paul had to defend his authority in every epistle, because the Judaizers, the Ebionites, were always attacking it. Oh, he's a fake apostle. And even today we have people like that. But I'm going to show you this. Salvation has always been by grace. That wasn't Paul's gospel. It has always been by grace. But the early church in Jerusalem took a decline, letting the Judaizers in, a sect of the Pharisees to believe, and they added their Jewish traditions to the gospel. Peter got confused. Even John got confused. So what did God have to do? And if you read anything about the Gospels, you know Peter lacked maturity. So what God had to do? All right, Paul, I'm going to raise up someone who knows the law in and out. Raise up Paul. And we know Paul's a true apostle. Acts 1 left room from him. They only found the 11th. Paul took over. And but you know what? If we read Galatians 2, even though after Paul said, listen, these people add nothing to me. But yet Peter agreed with Paul. And in the debate, he said, listen, Paul's right. They're saved by grace. So Peter understood the message. But yet he was still holding to the law in some areas. And right here, look at verse 11. But when Peter was came to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Why was that? Why was he opposing Peter? Verse 12. He says what? When Peter came to Antioch, for they were certain men from James. Oh, verse 11. What does that say? For before that, certain men came from what? James. He did eat with the Gentiles. See these Jews, these Judaizers, they think you're a dog. A filthy beast. Read the Talmud. They said, they should kill you. They said, they had the right to kill you. So, in the little tradition here, Jews can't meet with Gentiles and their unclean food. He withdrew and separated himself, fearing them, which were the circumcision law keepers. Just today, many Christians like to justify themselves before people. They're afraid. You know, stand up for what's right. 13. And went with this. And the other Jews dissembled likewise in so much Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation, their hypocrisy, their false doctrine. Verse 15, he says this, but we are Jews by nature. Verse 14, when I saw they're not walking uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Why he's saying, listen, Peter understood the gospel, but now he's not walking uprightly according to it. By faith, because he should know that, hey, we've been justified apart from the law. We're no longer under the law. So Paul rebuked Peter out of love. And he says right here, listen, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. He says, I did not frustrate the grace of God, Peter. If righteousness comes by the law of Christ, is that in vain? And guess what? Peter agreed. And 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, listen, our beloved Paul, and actually called Paul's scriptures actually call Paul's letter scriptures. Peter came in agreement with Paul, same as John. So the big three, at first, to Paul, matter nothing. But the main people who matter, Cephas and John, ended up agreeing with Paul. Why? Because they knew that he was from God. Now, James, well, guess what? James didn't. In Acts 21, before Paul got a revelation from God and said, listen, Paul, you need to go up to Jerusalem so you can get arrested. So you can go to Rome and get up there and preach the gospel. So Paul said, okay. So notice, I think it's funny how, guess where Paul went? He went to James because he knew that the people in James' congregation, that Judaizers, did not like Paul because Paul was telling Gentiles and Jews they're free from the law. And guess what James said to Paul? Read Acts 21. They salute each other. Hey, James, because in Paul's mind, he's already going to get arrested. So he knows what's going to happen. So it doesn't matter what they were going to say. He's going to do whatever they say. James, all Paul, are you telling Gentiles and Jews to stop keeping the law? Paul's like, yeah, James, I am. Well, how about you come to this animal sacrifice and show that you respect the law? Okay, whatever. Paul went up and got arrested just like that because he knew it was going to happen by God's revelation. Now, by James' language, did he understand grace after all that time? Nope, he was still holding to the law. So you can't use James to overthrow Paul when James was limited in his understanding. His letter was written before everything that happened. So if you're going to hold to James, hold it and see how you go. Because you know what? Paul says you're under a curse. Whereas many of the works of law are under a curse. So you can't use James to overthrow Paul when James did not understand grace. I mean, even Jesus was accused of breaking the law and the Gospels because he was raising the standard of it. I mean, he was showing people they can't keep it. Again, if you did, it blows my mind what happened. I mean, anyway, many people think they can keep the law, but you can't. When Jesus says, hey, you know what? Pluck out your own mind. He meant it. He was raising the standard of the law to show us sinners we can't do it. And our only hope is him, himself. We're justified by faith in the blood, in the finished work of Jesus. So if you believe the gospel, that Christ, what's the gospel? It's simple. 1 Corinthians 15, read it. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again. That's the gospel. If you believe it, you're saved. That's the good news. That's the good news. 1 second. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, sorry, I was making sure my thing was up. All right, Lord, thank you for the service. Thank you for the gathering of the people here, Lord. I just pray you help them to rest in the finished work of Jesus. Let them know that they're saved, forgiven because of what you did at the cross. Help them to rest that knowing, Lord, that you justified them. You said yourself, Jesus, in the Gospel of John, the most famous verse in the Bible, Lord Jesus, you said yourself that God loved the world. They give his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, thank you, Lord, for that message. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Church is dismissed. Ugh.
Hey, Horace, how are you doing, lad?
Doing all right.
All right.
I'm going to call the tech. I'm going to deaf in the call. So. I mean, you sound sick as fuck, man.
I can't end the sermon right now because my steam is frozen. There we go. All right.